starting off today's episode with a real verbal Donnybrook. Told Emily, I'm like, you got to do less stuff about movies. She's like, I don't do movies. And you know what? And I was like, people complain. And I was joking. Nobody really complained to me. And she's like, people complain about you. And I was like, what? On my own show. She said, people complain that you cut me off. Fine. I shall endeavor to not cut you off, but you need to endeavor to not tell as many stories about movies. And I get that people want to hear it, but I really don't. Excuse you.
What do you want me to say to that?
All right, Eliza, that's fair. You're a fair and benevolent ruler of this tiny office that we share. It's not that tiny, but you know what? Write it, write, don't write us in. We're doing fine. Kicking off 2021. With a blaze of turds. Everything's going great.
What's a blaze of turds?
Just a shit rainbow. Just like everyone was like, oh, 2020's over. Here we come, 2021. 2021 was like, welcome to the fuck show. Doesn't matter. Got some news here today in California that a lot of the tests, rapid tests we were using were not intended for that purpose, tainted and sold to the state by a non-medical professional. Great job, California. Number one in snake oil sales since the beginning of movies, since Instagram first started. But we're quarantining still, fucking still. Got a lot of questions. We're here to answer your questions. If you enjoy this podcast, as I know many of you do, please like. What's the other one? Link, subscribe.
Yeah, don't like, just subscribe. Don't like,
and leave a review, letting people know. Because I went through a lot of other podcasts and everyone has about 1,500 reviews and stars.
Told this.
All right, well, maybe they skipped one. And share it with a friend. Get your friends involved. Get some of your questions answered about your friends and then see your friends and be like, was that about me? And how much I talk about movies? No, someone else. But we're here for you. Holidays are over. It's time to fuck.
Oh. Alice Kerr. Emily's top of the cob. Yes, agree. When everybody comes to the island on the Greek fishing boats is the best moment in cinematic history. Question for Eliza. Nope. Have you read the book Women Who Run with Wolves? In typical new year, new fashion, I've started reading it and the teaching is about tapping into your inner wild woman. And I thought it was very reminiscent of the concept of the she-dragon. What activities, behaviors, etc. do you think can help women tap into their inner she-dragon?
I have not read the book. I was unfamiliar with it until this very moment. She dragon is all mine. Just from the way it sounds, like being a wild woman, you know, and howling at the moon and having and free bleeding. I mean, it's different than she dragon's kind of just a hungry drunk thing. Not dissimilar to Party Goblin. What are things that women can do to tap into it? I don't know, because it depends on your definition of wild.
Mm.
You know, is it not doing your hair? Is it not wearing makeup? Is it dancing freely? They would say dance like no one is watching, but someone's always watching. The state is watching. I think it probably just has more to do with doing things that fulfill you. And so, you know, that's what a wild woman would do. This is not about like ripping off someone's head and swallowing a lizard whole. I just think women feel so stifled and we're so afraid of what people think. And even the most carefree woman you know still cares what someone thinks. It's just the question of, are you limiting your own happiness because of what someone else might think? Tell you what, go to the grocery store with no makeup on. Literally no one cares. No one's going to stop you and ask you to leave. No one cares. Because the rule is, and I talk about this in Girl Logic, my book you can pick up on Audible as well as Amazon. However awful you think you are, there's always someone worse. Literally across the desk from you. There's always someone worse. You're fine. Don't be a narcissist. Don't wear the makeup. Wear the weird outfit. And if anything, you're so happy, it'll attract positivity.
I hear everybody.
That was me just sipping knowledge.
I hear everybody talking now about like, oh, I don't want to go back to a world where I have to wear jeans. Jeans are awful. I feel like jeans are the most comfortable of pants.
They are. I mean, women's jeans typically are very tight, very uncomfortable, very unforgiving. You know, hopefully your jeans have some stretch in them. Maybe it's about rethinking comfort. You can still wear jeans that are stretchy and comfortable.
Yeah, I love a good pair of jeans.
And you know what? It is nice to be uncomfortable once in a while because you're putting your best foot forward. You're going out to a red carpet. But yeah, it's going to be really hard to sell me. I never did uncomfortable outfits in the first place. But again, I don't have a real job. But I will say this, the world does get upset when women are uncomfortable. I've seen it a lot on Instagram, like on social media, like men being like, oh, another girl in Uggs. Yeah, they would be mad that your feet are cozy and cushioned and warm. I'm not going to wear heels everywhere. People get mad when girls are like basic. And it's like, yeah, but you're being fucking comfortable. Sweats are comfortable. We're not used to the idea that a woman should be comfortable because pain is beauty. But make an art out of it. You checking your Apple Watch? Did your Apple Watch just tell you that you died?
I'm ready for it to say that I died.
Oh, man. There's all these labels. You know, be a wild woman, be a successful woman, be a whatever. You just be you. And chances are you're already doing it. And you're probably doing a lot better than you think. And just try giving in to urges more. I talk about this in Girl Logic also. Just, you know, I do want to have sex, so I'm going to call this guy. I want to go eat. I don't want to have sex, so that's what I'm going to do instead. Like, actually, I think it's all about actually putting yourself and your needs first, because that's what a wild animal does. When it wants to fuck, it does. When it's hungry, it finds food. When it wants to take a nap, it does. That's the inner wolf or domesticated Chinese dog, whatever you got.
I don't know if she puts herself first.
Tian Fu?
Yeah. 100%.
Standing on me with a toy in her mouth.
But she
breathing.
Wants to be near you. I mean, I guess that's what she wants.
That's what she wants. Yeah. Always ask yourself, what do I really want? And the answer is probably popcorn and a soda.
Very hurtful that she wouldn't sit with me when you weren't here.
Well, she can feel your attitude.
Okay. Okay, anonymous. We're digging into some of these anonymous questions that are a little longer so that we can start answering these more complicated questions.
Okay. You furrowed your brow like you were trying to explain to me how like a turbine engine works. What you want to do is come in under the rudder.
Anonymous. Hey, Liza, Emily, and tiny, warm, and fuzzy Snow Peach. I want your opinion on my recent run-in with COVID, as I know you've answered a lot of questions about sticking up to family, not abiding by the rules, etc. But I'm not sure
it's
if
really
you've
easy
had
when
like
I have
this.
No family to actually have an issue with. But okay.
I'm a flight attendant, and in the UK, we're considered key workers as we work on some of the flights transporting essential PPE around the world, freighter and repatriation flights, as well as having to look after rule-ignoring people who decide to go on holiday in the middle of a pandemic.
Ugh.
I recently caught COVID from a flight. Another crew member had it without symptoms and passed it on to the rest of the crew. I was fine and my symptoms were very mild, so I'm very lucky. Unfortunately, though, I passed it on to my immediate family and boyfriend, which I'm really ashamed about. My parents and boyfriend have been great about it, saying seeing each other when I'm a person at risk of having it at any given time was a decision we all made as adults. But my older sister, 30, was very rude to me about it, shaming me for giving it to her and stopped speaking to me. And my boyfriend's nephew, 22, was exactly the same, despite him not having caught it. He described my passing it on to my boyfriend as the shit she pulled and blocked me on social media.
Of course he would. Of course.
My question is, what do you think about this situation? If someone's technically a key worker and they catch the virus, is it okay to shame and blame? Should I just suck it up and keep saying sorry? I know I'm not on the front line saving lives, but I caught it from work despite taking all precautions and I'm otherwise not going out to restaurants, bars, gatherings, etc. Love you both. I apologize for inconsolably crying when I met you in Vegas last year. P.S. I'm female 26, if that helps.
I know you're female because of the way that man spoke to you. First of all, let me just say this. Fuck those people. Your sister's a bitch. And I feel like I say this a lot on podcasts. I'm like, your aunt's a bitch. People are so holier than thou. First of all, I don't know if you have irrefutable evidence that you gave it to them. I also, before they get up on that high horse, were they quarantining the entire time? Because guess what? England just had like a mega resurge of all of that. So were they quarantining or were they popping out to the pub for a pint? Were they going round the lift with others? Were they doing everything in their power to stay safe? You don't know 100% that they got it from you. And the fact that, I mean, if you truthfully were doing everything you could, it's really that other employee's negligence. And this isn't America, so you can't sue and you can't make a big deal. It's England. You just got to, you know, chin up, stiff upper lip, carry on. Those people are assholes and you probably just need a little bit of time and they'll probably get over it. But they're just being immature and myopic and dense. And everybody went into all of this with their eyes open and they knew what you did for a living when they were around you as well. Blaming you, by the way, this all stems from the phrase Typhoid Mary. There's no Typhoid Tim. It's always a girl. It's always a woman. Mrs. O'Leary's cow was the one that started the Chicago fire. It's always a woman. Somehow we have no power and yet we're responsible for the majority of the world's woes. So, you know what? Just remember that and never talk to them again. They'll get over it.
Sorry. Yeah. The thing is that like, why, like your sister is 30. So she clearly didn't have to be there. She came over to be with the family for the holiday. So she was taking the risk.
And you did everything. And it's this one employee. And it probably wasn't even his fault. He was asymptomatic. You're probably doing the best you can. This is a fucking pandemic. There's no rules. All right. A bunch of wild raccoons just stormed the Capitol the other day. And like everyone's V chill about it. So they're out. They have this righteous indignation and they're outraged because it's because they finally have a person to be mad at. This is a pandemic, so you can't like target specific people other than like our president who totally failed us on this. And hey, if you're conservative, don't turn off them. I'm not shaming your boyfriend, but he did do a very bad job. Agreed? Okay, moving along. But they have a target for their anger. You notice that people, when they can find someone to blame, whether it's the person you're freaking out at the help desk or customer service, people need a target. It is just part of being a human, and that's what they're doing. They'll apologize to you. And that guy that blocked you, good fucking riddance. Block him back so that when he comes to his fucking senses, he can't apologize, and he's got to come to you with his dick in his hand like, I'm sorry, I didn't realize what science was. God, fucking losers.
Have you ever read about Typhoid Mary and what a like creep she was?
Okay, fine. I'm just saying.
No, I just, it's such an interesting story because she really, she truly went just like house to house to house, just like sticking her sick hands at everything because she was asymptomatic. And they told her, the health department is like, you're making so many people sick. And she's like, I don't care. I got to mix puddings with my arms. Like she just was like, just.
Remind you of a large contingency in our country. Right. Like, wow, I got to go. I got to go to the movies.
I still got to do. Yeah, I'm making dinner and I'm making it with no gloves.
Anyways, tell your sister and your boyfriend's nephew that they should start mating and have a horrible family because they're meant for each other. Kick it.
All right. Love the show and both of you so much. For starters, just want to say I am not a nurse or getting any sort of degree, so I'm breaking the mold. My issue is work-related, though. I work in an office/customer service type job, and I am a team lead. Think assistant to the regional manager, LOL. Uh-huh. Anyway, one of my coworkers is an attention-seeking hot mess. I am fairly certain she suffers from some form of Munchausen syndrome.
I love it.
It is exhausting to deal with day in and day out, and her ailments really set a negative tone for the whole office and our customers. Management and HR are scared of her because the last time she was called out on her behavior, she checked herself into a psych ward. Have you ever dealt with an attention-seeking nightmare like this? And if so, how do you shut it down? I always try to be a positive presence at work, hoping I will rub off on her, but she is such a Debbie Downer. I want HR to see how her behavior affects all of us. Thanks for all your sage wisdom you dole out each episode. Hope to see you live someday.
God, that's rough. Because you don't know that it's Munchausen's. And I will say this. So I'm working on something, and I've started questioning, am I the annoying girl? I've gone through every vacation I've taken with Noah, and every time we've gone to do something, something has gone wrong with me. I am not a sick person. I am not a chronically ill person. I do not have any gastrointestinal issues. I don't have like major allergies, anything like that. There's always fucking something that goes wrong. And it's so upsetting because like everything was wrong before we got to the resort. And then there's always an issue. I took him camping in Lake Arrowhead. And all of a sudden at 3 a.m, my ear is ringing because why wouldn't it fucking be? And there is a frustration to something always going wrong and being afraid of how bad you're going to look, you know? And of course, let's pretend that she actually does have these things wrong. I feel bad for her, but I do think there are, I don't see it as much in men, but I do see it in women. There are those women who their issues become their personality. The least aggressive version is the person who makes their chosen dietary restrictions your problem. I'm not eating carbs. Like, okay, then fucking don't. Give me your chips. I had one friend that like just, you know, garlic didn't agree with her. But like, then you're the asshole if you made something with garlic. And again, I have a friend, my friend Jill is a vegetarian. And since the day I've met her, anytime we go out to eat, she's like, I'll find something on the menu. Don't worry about it. You know, when you're in pain, you only want to talk about it. But somewhere in her life, she found out she could get attention from talking about her pain. I know somebody who has lupus. And when she's having a flare up or when it's bad, like she just excuses herself. She doesn't freak out. My cousin has cystic fibrosis. Like she deals with it. She doesn't ever talk about it or, hey, I need to leave the room. I have to go do my breathing exercises. People that are actually dealing with serious pain and chronic issues tend to just kind of want to do it and manage it with grace. So I guess it really is an HR problem. I mean, personally, I would just, here's what I would do. I would find another coworker who's noticed this. This is a little mean girl, but I don't care because she sounds annoying. And just like have someone that you can give a look to every time that girl makes something. Like make it like a fun, delicious inside joke. It's so much more fun to talk shit like when you're in cahoots with someone.
Yeah, but is there, okay, so I feel like there's nothing you can really do about
that bad advice?
Whether she is or, up on her. Whether she is or is not sick. But the negativity day in, day out, is there anything that can...
is it like you walk in and you're like, good morning, Susan. And she's like, I'm dying. We're all dying. You know, is there a way to, maybe there's like a positive reinforcement thing. Like, I can't do dairy. I can't do it. And you bring in cupcakes. You're like, and I didn't bring you one because I know that it gives you diarrhea. I just smile and she's like, whoa. Maybe if she starts to see that she's being left out of stuff, you could also just kind of pay her no mind. Like you could kind of just stop rewarding. I think she's used to getting attention for these things. So maybe just giving less air to that, less oxygen to that fire. And just make like kind of treating her like she's like a kid and it's just like white noise. Because nobody wants to hear it, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm the negative one at the office, so I don't know what to do.
I would
about
love
that.
Some examples.
Yeah.
Okay. Just interacting with her as little as possible. And, you know, remembering that your obligation is still, I'm guessing, to the other people in your office. So treat her like a whiny child. Like, well, we're all doing this anyway. If you want to participate, great. If not, stay at your desk. Mm. Like, maybe there's a way you can start to just categorize her as like a whiny child in your mind. I'm just guessing. I would love some details. I love hearing people talk shit about other people.
Report back.
Yeah. We only have two people in our office and I'm one of them. The other one's sitting across from me. We don't have a rich office culture.
Why it's coffee? Esther says, Dear Eliza, podcast helpers, baby Armin Hot Scotty, and the world's best peacherino.
I feel like I'm doing a bad job today. These are all like kind of nebulous, like, here's some details about people you don't know. You don't have the whole picture. How do I fix it? And I'm doing my best.
You're doing your best.
Yeah.
It's been a weird week.
Kick it.
Esther, my daughter is doing her senior high school project on drag, a history and becoming a drag king. She's having trouble coming up with her drag name, and I thought maybe you could suggest a few to help. She has come up with Holden B. Dick, but since she goes to an all-girls Catholic school, this that is obviously
project?
Not going to work for the project.
Okay.
Any help would be appreciated.
I mean, the thing about drag in and of itself is, so it's a guy and they take a woman's name and then they make it like campy or punny, right? Like Delta Burke from Designing Women. And so she was Delta Work, like work, bitch. So there's a campy punny element. Now this is a woman dressed as a man because it's boy drag.
Drag king,
right. So you're always like making sure I'm saying the right thing. It's drag king. Don't fuck
I
it
went
up.
To a drag king show once.
I don't know that would be my thing. Drag queens, I think, are elegant and mystical and beautiful. Maybe I should need to go to a good drag king show. But again, fake facial hair really upsets me. Fake eyebrows, fake beards. This has nothing to do with your sexuality. This is a chosen hobby and I don't like fake beards. Okay, so I've come up with some. So you want to do, so with drag, it's you're taking a girl name and you're making it something usually very sexual. But since you're doing this for school, school project, it can't be sexual. Although I would argue that sexuality and drag are one and the same. But okay. Isaac Newton. That's not too sexual. And that's a guy. I'm taking a guy name. Luke Skywalker. Okay. You could do Channing Tatum, but you could do Tanning Chatham. And she could just be really tan. Because also, I don't know what kind of drag it is. Usually the type of drag has to do with
right,
the name.
What the look is.
Yeah.
Like, do you look like Gomez Adams? What's the...
Right. Instead of Mark... So we're trying to think of like quintessentially manly men. You could do Mark Wahlberg, but instead it could be Mark Wahlgirl.
Mark Wahlberger.
Her. Elliot Stabler from Law & Order. You could be Elliot Stable. Her. Clint Eastwood. Take that one to your deacon. Marlon Brando. I'm so sorry because I don't know the type of drag. It's tough. You know, Or you could do a food one. Like there was a one drag queen, I think named Kimchi. You could do a food one. Mm. Pizza face Ghost Rider.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and like Bianca Del Rio just got her name from someone else.
Remember when I thought her name was a synonym for jizz and it turned out it had nothing to do with that? I think she was pulling my leg.
I think the outfit can inspire what your name's going to be.
Yeah, let us know. Kick it.
Anonymous, I have a close friend who a year ago broke up with her on-off boyfriend of 5 years. He was pretty shitty and said some things about her weight that made her feel bad. She wasn't overweight by any means. She's 5'3 and probably about a size 30 in pants. In March, she said how nightly she'd drink a bottle of wine for dinner and then forget to eat. I saw her in June and she dropped to about a size 26. And when I asked her how she lost the weight, eager to learn about any diet tricks and truly think we were close enough she could confide in me, she curtly replied, "I went through a breakup." In December, she's now a size 0, maybe close to double 0, and said she's dropped about 50 pounds while sporting a new large thigh gap. While I'm so happy she's out of a bad relationship and feeling good about herself, I'm just worried she's losing weight in an unhealthy way, and I'm pretty sure she hasn't become a gym buff. Would it be crossing the line to say something? Disclaimer, I'm not implying that either of those pant sizes are unhealthy. I'm just trying to give a visual of my friend's weight loss.
This is in one of my specials, how girls, like, I want to be the kind of thin where, like, we're worried for you. I don't know what her body looks like. And I know that the shorter you are, the heavier you will look. You know, 145 pounds on a 5'9" model is very thin. 145 pounds on a girl who's 5'5" is, you know, you're fine. I would do some real soul searching if I were you. Because it can come off as you're jealous. And you even, and I'm not saying you are, but you even said at the beginning, like, "Ooh, I saw she was losing weight and I wanted some weight loss tips." It's really tough with women because she might perceive it as you're just jealous and so you're attacking me. And that does happen a lot with women. Like, how did she lose all that weight? Well, if I'm not losing weight, then she obviously has an eating disorder. If this is a good friend of yours, like, are you observing things while you're going out to eat? Like, is her apartment, does she look like she stores food weird? Like, I don't really know a ton about eating disorder signs other than, like, what's constantly shoved down my eyeballs on Instagram. I would just be careful. I would be reticent to ask her about an eating disorder because there are healthy weights and there are no healthy weights. And her body, I mean, if you can drop that much weight and sustain it, like, maybe her body did want to be thinner. Maybe he made her eat more in that relationship, you know? Maybe that was a motivation, sadly enough, that she needed. I would just gather more information because I don't think you saying it is going to be what makes her like, you know what? I will gain that weight back.
Especially since you say she replied to you curtly when you asked about it.
She has family. This is not on you. You know, are clumps of her hair falling out? Is she passing out in public? It's kind of not on you. I don't know you at all. I do think that there is a part of you, and this is not because of you. This is because of things I've observed from girls. I think part of you is, oh, if she's losing weight, I don't want her to lose weight and I'm not losing weight. And I think that's just a natural part of being a human. We look at others, we compare ourselves. So I wouldn't say anything unless this is like medically an issue. You know, she's passing out or she's like her teeth are falling out because she's bulimic. So, you know, and if it really becomes an issue, maybe ask her mom or her sister or someone close to her like, hey, have you noticed this? And if you want to do like an intervention or something, that's one thing. But just you saying it, I think will fall on deaf ears. And I think she'll just get mad at you. Unfortunately.
Yeah. It sounds like you guys aren't in a place where she's going to listen to you.
But also like people go through things and their weight fluctuates and they gain a bunch of weight and then they figure out a way to like stabilize, you know, just because you meet someone when they're a little bit heavier doesn't mean they're meant to be that way. And just because you meet someone when they're real thin doesn't mean they're meant to be that way. So people... she's just kind of figuring out, sounds like a bit of a yo-yo. She'll probably even out somewhere. She's figuring out what works for her.
Right. And if you guys already like didn't have a conversation about her saying she had a bottle of wine every night, this is probably not the spot to step in.
Wine has a lot of calories. It's like a lot of sugar. Like you're not going to look great from just drinking wine. So, but that's gross.
Kick it. Anonymous. My partner of 3 years and I have split up and I've moved back to my parents' place in the country until I sort out what to do with my life. I'm lucky to be teaching online right now and until the summer at least, so I can work from here. But this is my chance to take a leap and move somewhere new this summer. Ooh. I'd like to stay in Canada, and although there aren't too many big cities for a classical musician to work, I want to restart somewhere that's not Toronto. In your Canadian travels, which of these cities did you love the most? Now I'm going to read you a list.
A.
Vancouver, and she says, yes. or he.
A.
I love Vancouver, love it. But it's a bit too expensive to rent for me, I think. Okay. Victoria, Halifax, Hamilton, Kingston, Montreal. I have lived there, love it. But my last name is Watson, and getting freelance work is tough for Anglos. Edmonton, too cold.
Hard
Calgary,
pass.
Not much classical music scene.
No.
Thanks
so
much.
But they have a rodeo stamp. They have a rodeo-themed stampede festival every year. The second you said Calgary, I was like, not going there. I haven't heard of a lot of those places. I've never heard of Hamilton. I can't look.
You like Vancouver.
I like Vancouver, but if you don't want to go there, I really enjoyed Halifax the one time I was there. Mm-hmm. I doubt it's that much different from the country. You know, it's not like a big built-up city. Also, I don't know how much classical music is there. It would seem to me that the kinds of places that appreciate classical music, probably Montreal, Toronto. You know, you don't want to go Saskatchewan. And then you don't really probably want to do Winnipeg and Manitoba. I'm just flexing on all the Canadian provinces that I know. So it's probably going to be on the East Coast. Those tend to enjoy, even on America, like that, you know, more classical music. I'm thinking of like Carnegie Mellon in Pittsburgh. That's my answer.
Yeah.
Or just like a little bit of outside of Vancouver, you know, and that's the answer. I think it's do what you love and your passion will follow. Go somewhere you want to live.
Start looking at apartments. Start looking at jobs or see what you can do
with your
job.
Don't come here.
There.
It's on fire.
Kick it. Anonymous, do you have any advice on how to dodge uncomfortable questions about when my husband and I are having kids? Most of our family respects our decision to wait, but I was at a birthday party and a family friend asked when I was going to make my big announcement that I was pregnant. I'm not pregnant and have an autoimmune condition that causes stomach distension and bloating at the slightest ingestion of gluten.
Oh, they
celiac
thought you
disease.
Were pregnant.
Both husband and I's medical diagnoses / histories play into the fact that we are waiting to procreate, but how do we politely tell people that we are waiting without also disclosing we both have different autoimmune diseases that are genetic and could potentially be passed on? Usually when we just say we are waiting, it's met with, well, you aren't getting any younger. I love your pod and listen every Wednesday morning on my commute. I will add that we're all COVID tested / masked and we're fortunate enough to have received the first round of the vaccine.
Wait, question. Your family, you're like, I'm with family and they're asking when my big announcement is because my belly's descended. Does your family not know you have, or are these just like people at a party?
A family friend at a birthday party asked that specific question.
Look, you're just going to have to get over it. But you're asking me, first of all, that already happened. And are you going to that many birthday parties in COVID where it's happening enough?
It seems like they're getting a lot of people that are just like, well, why aren't you doing it yet?
People, I've gone through this myself. People really mean well and don't really want to hear the answer. Nobody wants to hear. When's your big announcement? You're like, the one where I tell everyone I had a miscarriage? That one? Uncle Hank! So, Uncle Hank from King of the Hill. It's all about how comfortable you are with someone being uncomfortable. Mm. You know, you could simply just be like, we're doing everything we can. That's a great answer because you are. Mm. You're getting the test. You're waiting, which is what you're, you know, like doing everything we can. And then if they say anything else, be like, do you want to watch? You're always going to have those people who fire off these really insulting questions and they bother you, but then you never have to deal with that person again. I have an uncle who is great. And I see him once a year and he's always like very aggressive in a way that my own father isn't about like, are you going to have children? And it's like, that's my vagina.
Uncle Hank.
Uncle Sid. Like, what are you asking me?
Right.
I don't think people realize that like female reproductive as if there's male reproductive, but that women's reproductive rights are not public information. So it's all about how uncomfortable you're willing to make the person. I honestly would just be like, working on it, doing what we can. And if they press you further, be like, what is this, a fucking inquisition? When you pull up my last pap smear, fucking weirdo.
It's such a weird thing in my mind to ask them about because there are so many like potential landmines in that questioning.
It's so normal to ask that. I find myself, someone's married, I'm like, you know, you want to be like, are you thinking of kids? Because it's a natural thing to ask. And it's tough too because every woman has their boundaries, what they're comfortable with. Like Emily, you've seen me naked. I have no problem with it. It's really inappropriate for a work environment, but we're in my home. That being said, I've never seen you naked. Would Correct. You like me to see you naked?
No, thank you.
Okay. See, she's at a boundary. Some women are super open about stuff, you know, and as a comedian, people expect that I should share everything about everything. And all I can do is just draw my own boundaries. Mm. So you have to decide how much of it are you willing to up with, willing to put. How much of it with are you up willing? Oh, tasting pennies. How much of it are you willing to put up with? And I think just being like working on it or just change the, you know, just change the subject. Usually people are okay. They're like ducks. You give them a little bit of bread, you send them away.
Mm. Anonymous. I'm 35-year-old musician and very single. I was living in Oakland 2012 to 2016.
Hey, classical Canadian person. That's where you go, Oakland. That person was Oakland.
But for the last few years, I've been living in central PA and was living with and taking care of my grandfather until he passed away last March. I was initially opposed to meeting people online, but changed my mind after the lockdown started and things weren't working out with any single women I met in person. I had been following women I found inspirational and occasionally sending messages of encouragement.
Are you a lesbian?
I think it's a man, but really? Not looking for any,
a boy.
Anything in response.
A boy writing in? Well.
It might be a girl. It's somebody.
Okay.
I don't write down their genders.
Sometimes it helps. Always it helps to know.
If they tell me, I tell you, but I don't look at their profile and assess their age and gender.
I think you're keeping it from me. I think you know.
I've been following women I found inspirational, occasionally sending messages of encouragement, but not looking for anything in response. After becoming open to meeting some of these women, I began to notice references to my messages in their public posts. These range from subtle to extreme, but I almost never get a response in my DMs. After one woman whose responses were on the extreme end stopped responding completely, I'm feeling a bit lost on how to interpret this stuff. Currently, two single women are consistently publicly posting overt references to me without directly responding. I find them very attractive, but I'm not even sure if I would want to date them without having a normal conversation, and I just feel more awkward the longer this goes on. Most women seem to think I am hot, but probably wouldn't want to date me. And I wonder if they aren't just basking in the attention I give them.
Picture?
Although they are also
picture
posting.
Immediately?
I don't have one. Although they're also posting about how they are single and want a man. I really value my platonic relationships with men and women. Being single has really stressed those relationships. So I would like to find a girlfriend before too long.
Okay.
So in my mind, I'm sorry, person, if this is not true, you're sending weird DMs to hot girls on Instagram.
Yeah, that's what's happening. And by the way, when you say you're like, I'm not looking for anything back, you are. We all are. Every time you engage in social media, there's a give and a take. And there's a reaction for every action. So now when a fan sends me something, they usually aren't respecting or I'm sorry. Oh, Jesus, Eliza. When a fan sends me a message, you're usually not expecting a response. And it is this effusive thing. However, that's typically a woman writing to me. I don't get a lot of I have a lot of male fans, you know, but it is that thing where women tend to not cross the line, but men will say stuff that's like weirdly sexual. And I'm like, this isn't fun for me. I'm like, oh, I love the way the light hits your perfect lips. I'm like, okay, that's a weird way to compliment my picture of me and the dog. But I think you meant well. So what I think I'm hearing is that the problem is you're sending these messages, but we are so used to living in a society where men are typically only hitting on women if they're leaving those messages. Mm. So and it's weird that they're referencing them. So
he says he's sending encouraging messages. So it's like, is a girl posting a picture of her working out? And you're like, yeah, work that body. Like, I would be curious to know because I immediately went to worst case scenario, but maybe your messages are super nice.
And are they referencing them in their posts? Or like, or they write back in the comments? Like,
it
thanks
seems
so much?
Like what this person is saying, and please write her in or let me know if I'm misinterpreting.
We're never going to see it, but
okay. We'll see it. Okay. But it sounds like, The let's say he messages a woman. She doesn't reply to the DM, but she posts something on her stories or whatever referencing messages she's gotten.
That's weird. What are you referencing? Like one guy, like Abel Skeever 15 said, good job, girly. Like, are you?
Or is it like, ugh, guys keep telling me to keep going, girl, and it's gross.
If you don't want to get looked at like a creepy bot, or a weirdo, because I get a lot of those. Like, hello, miss.
I know.
I'm just like, has this ever worked on
would
someone?
You like to talk? I would like to be your friend. And you're like, what?
And I'm always like some this one like Brazilian guy like really wants to show me his dick. Like, hello, I'd like to dance for you. Hello. Like days. And eventually I just blocked it because I was like, okay, this has gone beyond like catfishing. And now like
what's happening?
You're too into this.
Yeah.
So I would don't send those messages. Because unfortunately, they probably don't come across as well-meaning as you think. I hate to say that. There are ways to write messages, but if you really, you know, if you want to leave a comment, that's one thing. But a DM, you know, you write to someone like, hey, I just want to let you know, like, you just lost all this weight. I went through that similar journey. Like, having some empathy or sympathy versus like looking good. I don't know the content of the message.
Right. But you're very unlikely to get a girlfriend via DMs of a public figure. If these are like public figures.
That's the other thing. I don't know who this is. Is this like a trainer that has like 30,000 followers, or is this like Mila Kunis? So here's my thing. Don't cast such a wide net. If you see a girl who thinks is pretty and you think you have a shot, send her a normal from the highest light human intention. Hey, my name is Jib. I don't want to sound like a creep. I've been watching your videos. You seem really cool. I just wanted to say hi, or something like that. Like, send it with the purest of intention. You're not trying to be creepy or surreptitious. You're just like, here's what I like about you. And acknowledge how weird it is and see if she writes back. But I don't know who you are or how high you're reaching. If you're like, yeah, Reese Witherspoon just won't hit me back. And it's, you know, so I think you're good as long as you're always coming from the purest place.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're always reaching out to, you're saying inspirational women. So if you're always reaching out to celebrity women, that's a bit of an issue.
Right. And I think it is, you know.
They're not celebrities and they have like 50,000 followers and she's like a trainer in Vancouver.
But yeah, I mean, you're reaching out with, as you say, encouraging messages to people you don't know. You know, sometimes that can come across as a little familiar.
There's that too. There is that. So, and also if you're doing it a lot, like, then you're really reacting to how attractive they are.
Yeah.
So they probably sense that as well.
So assess your messages.
Maybe run it by a girlfriend to like, you know, scan for any like creep vibes. Mm-hmm. But always from the highest of light. Because I've definitely had guys who you can tell like actually mean well. They're like, I don't want anything back. I'm not hitting. I just want it. It's like, and I feel bad because there are good guys out there who are like, hey, I did just want to participate.
Yeah.
But you can't blame girls for having their guard up a little bit because mm-hmm. people like feet and they let you know it 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, okay.
Anonymous, I'm in need of some dating advice. I'm 27. I've had a few longish boyfriends, but the last two sucked and I find myself liking a guy. Maybe jumping in bed too quick and then I kind of get ghosted or they don't seem interested anymore. They definitely say nothing but nice things. I'm trying to be more discerning and trying to take things slower with guys. My question is, when do you feel it's an appropriate time to get it on with a guy and when is it okay to just have fun? I don't want to just shut down every opportunity for maybe some company, even though it may not go anywhere. I'm active duty, so sometimes all you have is a month or two with a nice boy, if that. And of course, I love the short hair and I can't express how much I appreciate your support for the military. You always say the things I wish I could tell boys about how it is to be a girl. I work with a lot of them. Thank you so much. Can't wait to see you in July.
I'll be honest. I thought you were saying you're like, I'm in the military. Of course I love the short hair. I'm like, yeah, I'm totally turned on by military guys too. You meant my short hair. Thank you so much. Look, if you only have a month anyway, then what are you looking for? Right?
Right.
You want someone that you can correspond with and you want to know someone's thinking about you. There are men who you will date and you'll, and by the way, I'm sure there are guys that like you've slept with and you weren't interested also. You're not a loser, right? But you're saying, you're thinking, oh, if I make them wait, then they'll grow to like me. Yes, you can always develop a relationship, but it sounds like you're horny mm-hmm. and you kind of want to have a good time and that's okay. It, you know, it's especially if you only have like a month. Okay. So you could have been with that person for a month. I'm yeah. saying I am a firm believer. And since we don't really use the word slut anymore in this society, it's better to be a woman that kind of knows what she likes and what she'll stand for versus like, I've slept with one man, his penis was inferior, but I was grateful. So I think it's just I think it's great that you're asking this question. And I think, you know, maybe take alcohol out of the equation. Cause that, you know, my mom was always like, have a coffee date first. I'm like, snore, that's boring. I always make guys wait a very long time. I've had like 2 one-night stands my whole life. I always made them wait like for a very long time. I'd be like, I'll make out with you. That's all we're going to do. Try pumping the brakes a little bit, but I think if a guy's going to like you, he's going to like you. There are plenty of guys that sleep with a girl. And then the next day they're like, hey, want to get breakfast? So maybe your picker is off in terms of you're picking guys that only want to have sex that one night.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're going for a certain type of guy. But I really think if a guy likes you, if a guy really likes you, he's going to like you regardless of if you had sex or not the first night. I do think that. But maybe slow it down then. Or maybe just don't have sex with them that first time and then see how you feel. But I think you're kind of, I think you're just feeling it out. I think you're in the military. I think you're working really hard. And I think you get tired of like the endless stream of single dudes and you want something stable, and that's okay. Maybe try a website. Try just hanging out with him for a night and then having sex like a week later. Have a rule, you know, and girls always do things like, I have a no sex for the first 12 months rule. But then, you know, you break it. Some guys you want to have sex with. Sometimes they're so fucking hot. You're like, I just want to have sex with you. And I literally never want to see you again. So don't, you're not as unempowered as you think you are. But I do, I think you want a boyfriend. And I'm here to tell you, the guy that's going to want to be with you is going to want to be with you regardless of if you have sex with him on the second or third date. That's what I think.
Mm. Yeah.
Go Army.
Anonymous.
I don't know if you're in the Army.
Anonymous. I have a friend I met when we were apartment neighbors nearly 2 years ago. I'm a 30-year-old guy. She is a little bit younger and lives on her own in the same apartment.
Wait, can you start over? I was thinking about like all the different types of hot military dudes that there are. Okay.
Anonymous. I have a friend I met when we were apartment neighbors nearly 2 years ago. I'm a 30-year-old guy. She is a little bit younger and lives on her own in the same apartment. I moved away to a new city an hour away in 2019 with my dog. I'm very busy with work and just keeping my sanity and chores during the pandemic. My friend has been unemployed for a while, and in the last year, she has been very consistent in trying to hang out every weekend. We hung out for maybe 3 weekends in a row, and she will insist that we go do things for hours. We've been to malls and hiking or out for non-alcoholic drinks and food. My problem is that we end up spending 8 hours of the day together where she is explaining how she cuts out toxic people from her life and she needs people because she is extroverted. I am certain she's developed feelings for me over the past, but I do not have an interest in dating this person. She hasn't outright said it, but she implies how much easier the pandemic would be if she had a partner. Some personality differences aside, we just don't mesh, and I'm tired of coming up with new excuses every weekend when she texts me to consistently hang out. I'm either tired or genuinely busy. I feel sorry for her because I can relate to loneliness, definitely, but I also need a lot more alone time, and I get physically exhausted hosting people for hours or going to functions with a bunch of people. She claims that she gets her energy from being around people, but there seems to just be mostly anxiety, politics talk, and forced interaction when we're together. I don't want to lead this girl on, but I'm worried she's not being honest with herself right now or understands my time. Up for advice. Thanks.
Why won't you just date her? Oh my God. What if that was my, I'm joking. What if that was my answer? I was like, you obviously, she likes you. I think that what you've just written should be in like the Boy Hall of Fame. And women should make pilgrimages to read this sacred text. It is the epitome of he's just not into you in the most eloquent, kindest, most diplomatic of ways. There are a couple of things you can do. Because as you were saying that, I was like thinking of if I have friends like that, where I'm like, I just don't want to, not that I see anyone anymore. You can do the LA thing where you don't answer your phone anymore. Sorry, so busy just seeing this. Sorry, I've been slammed. Oh, I'm on set. You can, I don't think you want to lie. You seem like a really good person. You can tell her you started seeing someone. You, and that would, that's two birds, one stone. Now, this girl is, here's what she's going to say to all of her friends. She's going to be like, we hung out all the time.
Every single weekend for 8 hours.
Now, you're saying it was just the first 3 weeks.
It sounds like there was just a time where it was 3 weeks in a row.
She'll think you were dating and she'll think that you were leading her on. And you know what? That's her narrative and you didn't. And you know you did the right thing. Okay? Mm-hmm. You're unavailable. Sorry, I can't this weekend. And, you know, just don't look at the phone as much. Sorry, I can't. And set those boundaries. Sorry, I can't. Sorry, I'm slammed with work. I'm going to be at work. You know, just keep putting it off. And then it's tough because you don't want to be like, look, I think you've got feelings for me. And it's, she's being a little selfish because she's like, I need all my energy from people. And you clearly are a very easygoing person. So she's, you're not getting as much out of it as she is. You don't need to go into that with her, but I would just continue to put her off. I can't, I'm just taking a weekend for myself. You know, I'm just unavailable this weekend. I can't. And if she pushes you, just don't respond. You don't have to. And what's the worst that's going to happen? She stops writing to you, you know? And if it gets to a point where you feel like she's pushing you, you can just say like, I need time. I've got so much going on. I really need time for myself and I can't, I get it. You can say to her, you're an extrovert and you get your energy from people. And I don't know if you are this, like I'm an introvert and I do need my time alone. And I do find it exhausting. Plus we're in a fucking pandemic. So I don't want to go to a party.
Yeah.
Any combination of any of these reasons should be enough. And they're all designed so that if she pushes you on it, you can just be like, gotta go. She'll get the hint eventually, but you will be the bad guy here if you don't start setting up those boundaries. If you keep hanging out with her, then yes, you are leading her on. So I would start doing that now. But kudos to you for being succinct and informative and fair in what you're saying.
I hate when I tell someone I can't do something and then they ask for more specifics. Like, well, what about at this other time? Well, what about this? Well, when are you going to be done? It's like, don't make me say it.
Good friends get it. I had a friend once who would always ghost. She'd always Irish goodbye. Always. And it was rude. Like in the middle of something, you'd be like, where'd you go? And she was like, I think I don't tell you I'm leaving. I don't tell people I'm leaving because like, I don't want to hear it. And I'm like, but I've never given you shit for it. Like we're adults. When you're in your 20s, you're like, oh my God, don't go, stay. And you like make people feel bad. I never do that. And I was like, I've never done that to you. So don't put your shit on me. We're not friends anymore. So you just be as clear and as honest as possible. And you can start off by just being like, hey, I'm unavailable. Hey, I'm really tired this weekend. I want me time. I want alone time. And you don't have to answer. You can just turn your phone off.
Yeah.
You'd be like, I've got a lot of work. Text you tomorrow. You know, give yourself a chance to miss hanging out with this person. And you can tell her you started seeing someone.
Thank God you're not in the same apartment anymore.
Oh my God. Yes. Tell her you started seeing someone. And I'm telling you, two birds, one stone. I already said it. That way sexually she'll give it up. And then she probably won't want to hang out with you as friends. Mm. That's, you probably don't want to do that. You don't sound like the kind of person who wants to lie, but.
Yeah, and she sounds like someone that would then go to your Instagram, see if you followed anyone new. Be like, I don't see you following a girl
you
that's new.
You can also like restrict her. Oh, I guess she'll know that. Never mind. So you could restrict.
Don't make it too complicated.
Don't make it weird. Just be on and be like, hey, I'm busy. Hey, I'm tired. I don't want to hang out with people. I need my alone time. There's nothing wrong with stating what you want. You're a man. You should be adept at this. Kick it.
You ready for Top of the Cob?
Oh boy, am I.
It's the Top of the Cob. You're doing it right. Every day, you just take a bite. Top of the Cob 2021.
Hey, tiny dog. A little late to the party here. My bottom of the cob is, so we had these nut jobs storm the Capitol. And what's sad is that a lot of people think that it actually didn't happen, which is horrific. And of course, between when we recorded this and when it comes out, we'll have so much more information. I lost about 1,000 followers because I was so outraged at what had happened. And what was scary to me was the amount of people who were like, oh, don't lump all conservatives. I've never said anything about conservatives. I've never said it about Republicans. My stance is this is something horrible that has happened. And the fact that people can't remove their own politics from the atrocity that occurred is what's scary. The fact that people get offended, like this is some attack on conservative values or something, you should be even more outraged that your party has been hijacked. Just like peaceful Muslims were livid and embarrassed and upset after 9/11 because these attacks were done in the name of Islam, and any real Muslim was like, that's not us. Just like Bernie Madoff fucked over all these people and every Jew was like cringing, like this isn't what we do. You should be equally as outraged because you're getting associated with that. I've never, and I continue to not, said, oh, this was conservatives. This is all Republicans. This is a right, far, so far right, hopefully you don't know anyone like this, group of people who got involved with groupthink and did something horrible that if you are conservative or if you do love this country, should rattle you to your core because they are attacking fundamental beliefs that hold this country together. So I was kind of sad the amount of people that took offense that I would deign to be outraged at an attack on American soil about American values, because these people are not real Americans. And people get upset because, by the way, nothing's happening now that Joe Biden is president. You don't like lose your rights as a white person. This idea that like, oh my God, we're gonna lose, nothing's happening. I'm the one paying more taxes. So this thing where you can't, you don't want to condemn these people because you happen to share a skin color and therefore you think you're admitting to having done something wrong. No, stand with normal good people on the right side and be like, what these people have done is wrong. And I'm sure everyone in there wasn't like Lily Snow White. This is about a group of people who where one guy was wearing a Camp Auschwitz shirt. So I don't know how you can be a fan of mine, but like also be okay with the idea that there
could
be another Holocaust.
Response to that? Someone said, we don't know if maybe he survived Auschwitz.
That guy did not. He would be a billion years old.
That's why it's so stupid.
So rather than get enraged and feel you're being attacked, remove yourself from these group of people and say, I am a Republican. I am fiscally conservative. And that's not who we are. That's what this should be. I'm embarrassed at the people. I'm embarrassed at the amount of people who take this personally. And who can't listen to someone like me who always argues for both sides and who always walks down the middle, and how you're offended that I would deign to be appalled at what just happened. So, you know, check your ego. That's it. I don't love it when people are like, hey, white people, you're fucking dumb. That doesn't, you know, you're not going to catch any honey. I'm sorry. You're not going to catch any flies with that. But I never said, hey, all Republicans, hey, all conservatives. I was just saying to the people, this is insane. And it was scary to me, the amount of people who didn't even want to hear it, because you'd be okay with another Holocaust if you're okay with that. And you'd be okay with people just having less rights and less access to stuff because you don't have to deal with that. But I think humankind will probably end up burning because none of us can understand that other people's rights are your rights. And I said what I said. That's my bottom of the cob. Okay.
My bottom of the cob is that the panic alarm went off in my car and I could not get it to turn off. And I was scared and confused. And I was on a road outside a dry cleaner, and an old couple walked by and they said, have you tried doing this? And I'm like, yes, I've done. I'm doing all the things. He said, okay, well, bye, and walked away. And I was like, okay. I said, I'm Googling more things like, to try. Yes. Oh. And I was like, oh no. And I finally, I got it figured out, but it was.
No, it's not still beeping.
It was, that sound is just, you just shut down. Like, you're just like, oh, what do I, because I pressed all, and I'm like, oh, and then I was like, oh yeah, none of my buttons work. Like, how do I do it if my buttons don't work?
Guaranteed to make the robber work harder and the actual driver just seize up.
I just was so, and I was like, and everybody's like looking at me and I'm like, I'm trying to fix it. And this is my car.
Well, it's a shame, Emily. I was really hoping it would be about a movie.
My bottom's never about a movie.
Oh, sorry. I just did my bottom.
Yeah. So I just did my bottom.
Oh, got it. Top of the cob. You know what? I think I want to change my top of the cob.
Okay. You're not locked in.
I was going to say a substantial mug. Like a nice earthenware mug. Mm-hmm. My top of the cob is, it's like kind of a bottom, but kind of a top because I think I might do something. We have some children. We have a lot of children in the neighborhood, and we have a child who lives across the street. And the other day my doorbell rang. And so I checked the security camera and I see a face kind of like hiding behind this pillar we have in front of our house. But he's in like a floppy hat, like a worker hat. But the person seemed short. And I was like, okay, whatever. Maybe it was like, we have a lot of workers in our neighborhood. Like maybe they needed something or rang the wrong doorbell. So I go outside and I see the kid who lives across from me, like hang out, and he's wearing a hat. And I was like, hey, did you ring my doorbell? To my face. He's like, no, there's much, much, someone else. And I was like, okay. And I didn't think about it. But now we've caught them a couple other times playing in front of the house. And you see them on camera run up, ring the doorbell and run away. And it doesn't bother me. It's not like it's waking me up in my sleep. It is weird that kids are just like, I'm just going to lie. Well, I think I'm going to find him and tell him the police have gotten involved. And your parents are going to go to jail if we don't find out, if you don't admit to ringing doorbells because it's a federal crime.
No, that's so
intense.
My
top of the cob is that I've truly graduated to an adult because like I have this kid's number, literally and metaphorically. And I'm going to let him do it a couple more times. And then I'm going to show the parents the footage and be like, when he rings the doorbell, messes up the podcast. Like this kid's got nowhere to go. I'm going to get him. Ah, it's going to be delicious. Vindication.
My top of the cob is also car related in that, and it led to the panic alarm being set off. But I was driving and I heard a sound. You know, when you hear a sound, you can tell it's something to do with the tire because you can hear it like going closer. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God.
And I'm like, oh my God. So I pulled up in your driveway and I turned my tires and I look at them and I'm like, they look okay. And I turn them the other way and I look at them. I'm like, they look okay. And I back up a little bit to see a different part. And I found the biggest rock that had been wedged between, so that basically the rock was, and you could see the dust over the rest of the tire. Yeah. And that's how I found it. The rock was being ground down and I pried it out. It hadn't made a hole or anything. It just, and then, and that fixed it. So I didn't have to take my car to the shop. Thank God. I fixed it.
Couple more rotations and you might've had to. I have another car bottom of the top and it's horrific. Noah and I drove really far recently and we came home and I walked around the front of his car and there was a bird in the grill of his car. Dead bird, long dead, small bird, hoping it wasn't a hummingbird because that's very special. And I was like, if ever there were a reason to have a husband, it would be for him to scrape off this bird carcass. A bird.
Ugh.
Horrific.
That's so upsetting.
It's upsetting. That's our show. Hopefully we answered a lot of your questions. If we answered your question and we asked for some clarity, please provide us closure. Let us know what happened. Talking about that one girl who had a tooth missing. Remember a couple episodes ago, really pretty girl who has a front tooth missing. Found out she's getting a new tooth in 4 months.
Yeah.
For that red hot update.
Somebody did ask, like, I want to see the tooth. We're not showing you this girl.
So you can get off looking at her root and tooth.
Yeah.
Please write us a review. Click that you liked it. Give it 5 stars. Tell your friends about us here at Ask Eliza Anything. And we will be back next week with red hot takes.